All right, let's jump into another deep dive. This time, we're exploring Robert Vannoy's lecture, Exodus to Exile,
Okay.
specifically Lecture 3A, which focuses on the Israelites' journey from the Red Sea into the wilderness. And get this, it might not have even been the Red Sea.
Interesting.
We've also got some intriguing ideas to unpack, like, did Moses teach laws before the Ten
Oh,
Commandments? And
wow.
if so, what were they? Let's get into it.
You know, it's amazing how certain images get stuck in our minds. Like, we all picture this epic parting of the Red Sea, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
But the Hebrew term Yam Suf actually translates to Sea of Reeds. Geographically, that points us to a much smaller body of water, probably one of the Bitter Lakes.
So not the Red Sea we see on maps today.
Right.
But wait, could a strong east wind really part even a smaller sea like that?
It definitely makes you question the scale of
For
things.
sure. I mean, it's one thing to escape, but to have your enemy basically wiped off the map for centuries. That's huge. No wonder the Israelites are so affected by it. Vannoy points out their reaction in Exodus 14.31. They see God's power firsthand, and suddenly they're filled with this mix of fear and trust.
Exactly. And that's where the wilderness period comes in. Vannoy argues it's about so much more than just wandering around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's more like the birth of a nation. I mean, think about it. This is where the Sinai Covenant is established.
Yeah.
Israel formally becomes God's covenant people. The law is introduced as their guide.
It's a foundational time. You know, it's always struck me as odd how much of the Bible is dedicated to this relatively short period. Like, what's so important about these wilderness years that we need to spend so much time on them?
Great question. Vannoy gets into the concept of the law itself. He breaks it down into categories: moral, civil, and ceremonial. But he actually prefers calling the Ten Commandments foundational law. It's like they're the core principles, and then all the other laws, civil and ceremonial, kind of flesh those out.
So it's not just about following rules blindly. There's like a deeper structure to it.
Yeah, exactly. Vannoy points out this really interesting thing. The law acts as both a restraint and a mirror. It's a restraint against evil, but it's also a mirror reflecting Israel's sinfulness.
Interesting, a two-way street.
Right. And this isn't just ancient history. It makes you think about how rules and laws function in our lives today. You know, do they just restrict us, or do they maybe reveal something about ourselves, about our tendencies?
That's a good question. I mean, we all have to live with rules, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
But maybe there's more to it than just, keeping us in line. Maybe
Absolutely.
they reveal something deeper about human nature itself.
Now, to shift gears a bit, Vannoy emphasizes how central the Exodus story becomes to Israel's identity. Like, it's woven into their collective memory, their confession of faith. You see it referenced constantly in the Old Testament.
Yeah, you see it in Deuteronomy, Joshua, Samuel, even in the prophets like Micah. They're always looking back to the Exodus as this defining moment.
And it's not just the events themselves, it's the language they use. There's this strong emphasis on redemption, which suggests something deeper than just physical liberation. It points to this relationship with God that's forged through the experience.
And of course, the ultimate goal of this whole Exodus journey is the Promised Land. It's interesting how Vannoy connects entering the Promised Land with this concept of rest.
Yeah.
And I don't just mean like physically settling down. It's more like this deeper spiritual rest. What do you think about that?
It adds a whole other layer of meaning. He's suggesting that the Promised Land isn't just a place on a map. It's also a state of being. He even connects it to eschatological rest, which refers to that ultimate rest we'll experience in God's presence in the new
So
creation.
it's like foreshadowing something much bigger.
Exactly.
So the Exodus isn't just about escaping Egypt. It's about this journey towards a deeper relationship with God, towards finding true rest, both in this life and the next. But speaking of the journey, things weren't always smooth sailing, were they?
Nope.
Let's talk about that time the Israelites started complaining about food.
Yes, the manna incident. Exodus 16 gives us a pretty vivid picture of this. The Israelites are in the wilderness, hungry, and they start grumbling. And God, in his faithfulness, provides. He sends manna and quail.
It's amazing how God provides for them daily, even before the Ten Commandments are given.
Right.
And you know what's funny? The word manna comes from the Hebrew man who, which literally means what is it?
Oh, wow.
Like they were looking at this strange food from heaven and going, what is this stuff?
It makes you smile, doesn't it? But Vannoy connects manna to a deeper spiritual meaning, too. He says it prefigures Christ as the bread of life in the New Testament. It makes you wonder how often we grumble, even when God is providing for us. Maybe not with manna from heaven, but in ways we might be overlooking.
It's a good point. Do we take God's provision for granted? Do we always see it? Mm-hmm. It's easy to focus on what we lack rather than what we've been given. But the journey wasn't just about physical needs. They also faced some pretty serious opposition. Remember the attack by the Amalekites at Rephidim?
Oh, absolutely. This is where things take a darker turn. Van Noy sees this attack as representing something bigger, like forces that oppose God's plan.
Okay.
Forces that want to stop Israel from reaching Sinai and establishing the covenant.
It's like this clash between good and evil playing out on a very real level. And this idea of spiritual warfare, of forces working against God's purposes, it's not just in the Old Testament, is it?
No, not at all.
It makes you think about what our Amalekites might be today.
Yeah.
What are the things that are trying to keep us from walking in God's will?
It's a good question to consider.
Yeah. What are those obstacles and oppositions we're up against?
Maybe it's negative thoughts that hold us back, or unhealthy habits, even cultural trends that try to pull us away from God's truth.
And just like the Israelites needed God's help to overcome the Amalekites, we need his help, too, to overcome our spiritual battles.
Absolutely.
Remember how Moses held up his staff during that battle? It wasn't about his physical strength. It was about dependence on God.
Right. Van Noy makes a great point about that. It symbolizes how our victory comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
We can't do it on our own. It's about surrendering our efforts and trusting in God's power to work through us.
So maybe holding up our staff today looks like prayer, or leaning on our community for support, or simply choosing to trust God even when things feel impossible.
I love that. And it all comes back to this idea, the law isn't just a burden or a set of restrictions.
Right.
It's a guide for living in alignment with God's will, which then empowers us to overcome those spiritual battles.
Okay, so we've talked about battles, but let's shift to something a little more positive. One thing that really stood out to me in Van Noy's lecture was this emphasis on remembrance, on looking back at what God has done as a source of strength and hope for the present. It's like the Israelites' deliverance from Egypt becomes this anchor for their faith.
You see it everywhere in their confessions of faith, their songs of praise, even their covenant renewal ceremonies.
Yeah.
Joshua and Samuel, for instance, both recount the Exodus story when they're renewing the covenant with the people. It's powerful, this reminder of God's faithfulness and power.
And it's not just informal ceremonies either. The prophets, like Micah, often reference the Exodus when they're calling Israel back to faithfulness.
Right.
It's like they're saying, look, remember what God did for you. Remember how he delivered you from slavery. Now turn back to him.
And even in the Psalms, you see the psalmist drawing comfort and hope from remembering God's past faithfulness.
Yeah.
Like looking back gives you the strength to face present challenges.
It's a good reminder for us today, too. When we're facing our own difficulties, it's easy to forget all the ways God has been faithful in the past.
So true.
Taking time to remember can be really powerful. But it's not just about the events themselves. It's the language used to describe them.
Okay.
Van Noy points out the significance of the word redemption.
Yeah.
It's not just physical liberation. It's about being purchased, set free by God's mighty arm. It hints at this deeper spiritual reality, liberation from sin and death, which ultimately finds its fulfillment in Christ.
So the Exodus becomes this foreshadowing of the ultimate redemption we have in Christ.
Exactly.
And that theme of redemption is deeply connected to the Promised Land.
Yeah.
It's not just a physical destination. It's about entering into God's rest.
And that concept of rest has multiple layers, right?
Absolutely. Van Noy talks about how it encompasses the physical land of Canaan, but also points to the spiritual rest we find in Christ, and ultimately to the eternal rest we'll experience in the new creation. It's like this beautiful tapestry of meaning unfolding throughout the whole biblical narrative.
Okay, so the journey isn't just about reaching a destination. It's about experiencing God's presence and provision along the way.
Right.
Which, when you think about it, is a lot like the Israelites' experience with the manna.
God's provision is woven throughout the Exodus narrative, from the parting of the sea to the daily manna. It's a constant reminder that he is faithful to provide even in the most unlikely circumstances.
And it challenges us to trust in that provision even when we're facing hard times. It's easy to focus on what we lack, like the Israelites did, but maybe we need to practice being more aware of what God is providing, even if it doesn't look like what we expect.
Absolutely. We can learn from their mistakes and try to cultivate a heart of gratitude, even when we're tempted to grumble and complain.
It's all part of the journey. Thinking about it this way, the wilderness period really is a microcosm of the Christian life, isn't it? It's about trusting in God's grace, following his guidance, battling spiritual enemies, and ultimately moving towards a greater rest that awaits us.
Beautifully said. It's a journey of faith, full of challenges and triumphs, but always marked by God's faithfulness and love.
Wow, that's a great way to put it. But we have so much more to cover. Buckle up, because the journey continues. Okay, so we've got this intriguing detail about early laws being caught before Mount Sinai. It really challenges what we thought we knew about how things happened.
Definitely.
But before we get too deep into that, there's another point Vannoy makes that I found fascinating. He talks about how God chose Israel not because they were powerful or righteous, but because of his love and faithfulness to the covenant he made with Abraham.
It's amazing when you think about it.
It
Deuteronomy
is.
4 and 7, they specifically say God chose them despite their flaws.
And let's be real, their track record wasn't exactly stellar.
They were known for their stubbornness.
Exactly. So if God didn't choose them for their good qualities, what does that tell us about his character?
It's a powerful reminder that God's love isn't based on our merit. He chose them out of pure grace because he had promised Abraham his descendants would be blessed.
Right, to become a great nation. So it's this incredible act of grace that sets the stage for everything that follows.
And the giving of the law then becomes even more meaningful.
Oh, how so?
Well, it's not about earning God's favor. It's about living in response to his grace.
So it's about transformation, not just restriction.
Exactly. And Vannoy highlights how this transformation doesn't happen overnight.
Oh, for sure.
The wilderness period, it's a time of learning, of growth.
Even with all that grumbling and complaining we see from the Israelites.
Yeah, kind of like our own spiritual journeys, you know.
Oh, totally. Speaking of grumbling, let's go back to those Amalekites for a second. Remember how Vannoy framed their attack as part of a bigger spiritual battle, like the seed of the woman versus the seed of the serpent?
It's powerful imagery
It is.
to unpack that a bit. The serpent, that represents Satan, right?
Yeah, okay.
The one who tempted humanity into sin.
Yeah.
And the woman that represents humanity itself.
Got it.
The seed refers to their offspring, both physical
Yeah.
and spiritual.
Got it.
So this battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent,
Yeah.
that's this ongoing cosmic conflict.
Between good and evil.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes the Amalekites' role a bit clearer. They're not just random attackers. They represent those forces that are trying to mess up God's plan.
Trying to keep Israel from fulfilling its destiny.
Exactly.
And it's not a one-time thing either.
I really.
Yeah, they keep popping up throughout Israel's history.
Like war.
Saul's disobedience when he doesn't wipe them out completely.
Right.
Haman the Agagite in Esther.
Oh, right. So it's this recurring theme of spiritual warfare.
Woven right into the biblical narrative.
It's not just about ancient battles, then. This idea of the seed of the serpent trying to disrupt God's plan. It makes me wonder, what are those Amalekites for us today?
That's a good question.
What are the forces that are trying to keep us from walking in God's will?
It's a question worth thinking about.
What do you think?
Well, maybe it's those negative thoughts that keep us from stepping out in faith,
Okay.
or those unhealthy habits that we just can't seem to shake.
Right.
It could even be like cultural trends that try to pull us away from God's truth.
So many things to think about there.
Yeah.
And just like the Israelites needed God's help to defeat the Amalekites,
Yeah.
we need his strength and guidance to overcome our spiritual battles.
We do.
Remember how Moses held up his staff during the battle? It wasn't about his physical strength. It was about depending on God.
Vannoy makes a good point about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he says it symbolizes how our victory comes from the Lord.
We can't win on our own. It's about surrendering and trusting God to work through us.
Exactly.
So maybe holding up our staff today looks like prayer, or leaning on our community, or
Yeah.
just choosing to trust God even when things are hard.
Beautifully put.
Thanks. It all comes back to this idea, the law is not just a burden. It's a guide for living in God's will.
Which then empowers us to overcome those spiritual battles.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we've talked about battles.
Yeah.
Let's switch to something a bit more positive.
Okay.
One of the things that struck me about Vannoy's lecture was this focus on remembering.
Remembering.
Yeah, looking back at what God has done.
Yeah.
And using that as strength and hope for the present.
Oh, I like that.
It's like their deliverance from Egypt becomes this anchor for their faith.
You see it everywhere. Their confessions of faith, their songs, even in those covenant renewal ceremonies.
Oh, right.
Joshua and Samuel, they both recount the Exodus story when they're renewing the covenant with the people.
Wow, it's powerful stuff.
This reminder of God's faithfulness and power.
And it's not just in those formal settings either, right?
No.
The prophets, like Micah, they often reference the Exodus when they're calling Israel back to faithfulness.
They do.
It's like they're saying, look, remember what God did for you. Remember how he delivered you. Now turn back to him.
And even in the Psalms, you see the psalmist finding comfort and hope in remembering God's past faithfulness.
It's like looking back gives us strength to face what's happening now.
Exactly.
It's a good reminder for us, too.
Definitely.
When we're going through tough times, it's easy to forget all the ways God's been there for us.
Yeah.
Taking time to remember can be really powerful.
I agree.
But it's not just about the events themselves, is it?
No. What else is there?
It's the language they use.
Okay.
Vannoy points out how important the word redemption is.
Right.
It's not just about physical freedom. It's about being purchased.
Set free by God's power.
Yeah. It hints at this deeper spiritual reality.
Liberation from sin and death.
Which ultimately finds its fulfillment in Christ.
So the Exodus becomes this foreshadowing.
Of the ultimate redemption we have in Christ.
Right.
And that theme of redemption is tied to the promised land, too.
Yeah. It's not just a physical place to go to.
Right.
It's about entering God's rest.
And that rest has these different layers to it, right?
Absolutely. Vannoy explains that it's about the physical land, Canaan, but it also refers to the spiritual rest we find in Christ.
Yes.
And then ultimately to that eternal rest in the new creation.
Wow. It's amazing how it all connects.
It's this beautiful tapestry of meaning.
Okay. So the journey's not just about getting somewhere.
Mm.
It's about experiencing God's presence and provision on the way.
Right.
Which is kind of like how the Israelites experienced the manna, when you think about it.
Yeah, God's provision is all over the Exodus narrative.
It is. From parting the Red Sea to the manna every day.
It's a reminder that he's faithful to provide, even in the craziest situations.
And it challenges us to trust in that, even when we're going through tough times. It's easy to be like the Israelites, focused on what we don't have.
Right.
But maybe we need to try to be more aware of what God is giving us.
Even if it's not what we expect.
Exactly.
We can learn from their complaining and try to be more grateful, even when things are hard.
It's all part of the journey.
It is.
You know, thinking about it this way, the wilderness really is like a mini version of the Christian life.
How so?
Well, it's about trusting in God's grace, following his guidance, fighting spiritual battles.
Yeah.
And in the end, moving towards that greater rest.
That awaits us.
Beautifully said. It's a journey full of challenges, but God is always faithful.
And loving.
Wow, what a great way to put it.
Thanks.
But we have so much more to talk about. Stay with us. The journey continues. It's wild how these stories from, like, thousands of years ago can still feel so relevant today.
I know, right? It's like they give us this window into human nature.
Yeah, into God's character.
The ups and downs of faith, all that stuff.
Stuff we can totally relate to, even now.
And Vannoy does a great job of bringing out those timeless truths.
He does. One thing that really struck me was his observation that the Israelites were already being shaped, like, into a nation.
Oh, yeah.
Even before they got the law at Sinai.
A people set apart.
Exactly. It's like with that whole Jethro thing.
Right.
Moses is already acting like a judge, settling arguments.
Yeah.
Teaching God's decrees.
It's like they're laying the groundwork.
For what happens at Sinai.
It suggests that giving the law wasn't just this, like, sudden thing.
Right.
It was more of a process.
Of revelation and formation.
That was already happening.
Okay, so let's talk about Mount Sinai itself.
All right.
Such a huge moment.
Hugely important.
What were some of Vannoy's main takeaways about it?
Well, he emphasized how important the Sinai covenant was.
Yeah.
This is where God officially makes his covenant with Israel.
Chooses them.
Exactly. It's the defining moment that shapes everything from that point on.
Their identity, their relationship with God. And it's not just about following the rules, is it?
No, not at all. It's about a whole way of life.
Right.
The law is given as a guide for how to live.
Okay.
In a way that shows God's holiness.
Sets them apart.
Yeah, it's about relationship, about transformation.
But didn't Vannoy also talk about how the law acts like a mirror?
He did.
Showing us how sinful we are, how much we need grace.
Yeah. He said it shows us how we can't live up to God's standards on our own.
It's humbling.
It is. It points us to our need for a Savior.
Which takes us to the fulfillment of the law in Christ.
Yes.
He's the one who perfectly fulfills it.
And offers us forgiveness.
Freedom from that condemnation.
The Sinai covenant, with all its demands, it points ahead to the new covenant.
In Christ.
That's where we find true grace.
Mercy.
Not because of anything we did.
But because of what he did.
His sacrifice for us.
So the whole Exodus story, even with all the twists and turns,
yeah,
it ultimately leads us to the cross.
And from the cross, we're invited to start our own journey of faith.
A journey marked by God's grace.
His guidance, his provision.
Just like he led the Israelites.
He leads us.
Through all the challenges and victories of life.
It requires trust, obedience.
Being willing to let go of control and rely on his strength.
Well said.
Thanks. And at the end of it all,
a greater rest.
Rest we can have in Christ now.
Yeah.
And that will be totally real in the new creation.
It's both present and future.
What a powerful thought to end on.
It is.
So if the Exodus is so important to who Israel is,
serves as a picture of spiritual redemption,
what does that mean for us today?
That's the question, isn't it?
How do we connect with these themes? Deliverance, provision, covenant, all of that in our own lives?
I think the answer is different for everyone.
Okay.
Maybe it's thinking about how God has rescued you from tough spots.
Yeah.
Or recognizing how he provides for you, even when things are hard.
Or maybe it's about going deeper in your relationship with him through Christ.
Exactly. It's taking those big ideas
from the Exodus
and applying them to our own walks of faith.
Seeing God at work and responding with gratitude.
Trust, obedience.
Yeah, you really nailed it there.
Thanks. And I want to encourage you, our listener, to keep digging into this time in history.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much to uncover, and I think you'll find it really rewarding.
Totally. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll see you next time for another adventure in history, culture, and ideas.